Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever wondered about the nitty-gritty rules of the supernatural world, especially when it comes to, well, unwelcome guests with fangs? Today we're doing a deep dive into a really specific and honestly pretty vital question. Can a vampire actually destroy a house they're not invited into? Our source for this is an article from Mystic Investigations. They're pretty well known for their paranormal answers to supernatural questions. And our mission here is basically to pull out the most important bits, the surprising facts about vampire home invasion tactics, and how effective this thing called the Global Vampire Invitation Spell really is. Think of it as your shortcut to getting up to speed on, essential supernatural security. So let's start with that first line of defense, the Global Vampire Invitation Spell. What exactly is it, and how does it generally work as a kind of supernatural shield?
So at its core, the spell is a protective mechanism. Traditionally, it absolutely stops uninvited vampires from crossing the threshold, from just walking into your home. It's a really fundamental barrier in the supernatural world, designed quite literally to keep you safe inside.
Okay, that sounds pretty solid. A fundamental defense. But, like any security system, you always wonder, where are the cracks? How do vampires try to, get around this powerful spell?
Well, the source does mention that a vampire could try direct physical attacks. We're talking brute force.
Like what? Just smashing things?
Yeah, exactly. Like shattering windows or kicking in the front door, that kind of thing.
So blunt force isn't their best bet against the spell itself?
Precisely. They might try it, sure, but the article clarifies that even if they do, the vampire would likely just be bounced off the supernatural shielding of the invitation spell. Their power to actually cause damage, by their own hand, it's limited. It seems to depend a lot on their generational strength or recent ingestion of high-quality blood.
Okay. But there's a pretty chilling workaround mentioned. It says simply, killing the homeowner would neutralize the invite spell, allowing them entry. Does Mystic Investigations go into why the spell is so tied to the homeowner's life? Is it like a magical contract or?
Yeah, it's fascinating actually. The spell isn't just like slapped onto the building, it's woven into the occupant's own energy signature. It's less about enchanting the wood and plaster and more about a connection to the living person inside. The spell is sort of an extension of the homeowner's will, their spiritual presence.
I see.
So if that core connection is severed, well, the spell collapses.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's shift gears a bit. This is where it gets really interesting, I think. What happens if a vampire doesn't try to come in, but throws something at your house from outside?
Right, this delves into some interesting supernatural physics, psychometry, reading objects through touch.
Sure.
Well, this is similar. The idea is that vampires leave a dark, unholy aura, or an electromagnetic psychic imprint, on things they touch. It's like their energetic fingerprint. To be clear, the dark, unholy aura is sort of their constant spiritual vibe, and touching something leaves behind that electromagnetic psychic imprint. It's a residue of that aura.
Okay, so the spell isn't just looking for a physical vampire body. It's detecting that specific energy signature, that vampiric fingerprint, and it's programmed to repel that.
Exactly. The invitation spell is tuned to pick up on these specific imprints and the aura itself. It sees them as hostile. So when an object carrying that imprint crosses the threshold, it hits this friction field generated by the spell. It actively works to neutralize that energy, causing a really rapid exponential de-energization of the imprint. Think of it like a counter-frequency scrambling the signal.
Gotcha. But the source does say a powerful vampire could launch a rock through the window and cause deadly damage. So the de-energization isn't instant, or is it about the sheer force fullest?
It's kind of both, unfortunately. That initial impact can definitely still cause harm, especially if you happen to be standing right by a window or an open door. The de-energization starts right away, but the kinetic force from a really strong vampire, they mentioned royal vampires or one that just had a major blood binge, that force might just push through enough to cause damage before the spell fully negates the energy.
So still a risk then.
Definitely still a risk. And what's interesting here, the source points out this differs from, say, The Vampire Diaries. In that show, the dark aura left on an object has no sway on the invite spell. You see powerful vamps like Klaus causing mayhem throwing things. But according to Mystic Investigations, the real supernatural world works differently.
That's a really key difference. It shows how even established lore can vary, right? And understanding these real rules, as Mystic Investigations puts it, is more than just trivia. It helps sort out what's real danger versus just, a convenient plot device.
Exactly. It's about understanding the actual mechanics, not just the pop culture version.
Okay, moving on. What about more? Conventional destructive methods. Can vampires use fire or explosives to get around the spell? That seems like it would bypass the whole invitation thing pretty effectively.
Well, with fire, the article explains that any flame a vampire lights is considered unholy in nature. Because of that, the spell actually causes those flames to extinguish rather quickly. Plus, it notes vampires generally fear it since they easily burn, so fire isn't really their go-to weapon.
Okay, so fire's mostly out. But explosives. The source says launching something explosive within the home could indeed be an issue.
Yes, that's a significant point. While the blast will be metaphysically contained to some extent, so the spell does dampen it a bit, occupants should absolutely get away from the explosive ASAP and seek cover. It's still dangerous.
Right. But this raises a question for me. If explosives can work, at least partly, why don't we hear about vampires using them or other human weapons more often, especially if they're really determined?
Well, the source calls it an enchanted ego thing.
An ego thing?
Yeah. They apparently feel they failed as a vampire if they can't defeat you with their supernatural strength, speed, agility, and intellect. Using a bomb or a gun is seen as, well, usually beneath them.
Huh. So it's not that they can't, it's that they won't because of pride.
That seems to be the crux of it. It actually reveals a kind of psychological weakness, doesn't it? Their pride stops them from using potentially effective, if unconventional, tactics.
It's like strange code of honor. They'd rather fail with fangs than win with a grenade.
Pretty much, yeah. It makes them somewhat predictable if you know about this ego vulnerability.
That's a really fascinating insight. So besides direct attacks or throwing things, are there other, maybe sneakier ways a vampire might try to bypass the spell without setting foot inside?
Definitely. The source details how a vampire could mesmerize a human to do their dirty work.
Ah, using a proxy.
Exactly. They don't need to enter if they can control someone who can open the door or, cause trouble from the inside. And it's not just mind control. The source also mentions, rather grimly, these pathetic people who live to serve their vampirical masters of their own free will.
Wow, so willing human servants too.
Yes, so humans can be unwitting pawns or enthusiastic collaborators, making them a serious weak link in home security against vampires.
Okay, so putting all this together, the limits on force, the object throwing, the explosives ego, the human element, it sounds like the global invitation spell, while good, is definitely not the impenetrable fortress you might initially think. What's the final word on its limits?
You're absolutely right. The big takeaway is the global invitation spell doesn't guarantee 100% safety at home. It's a strong defense, yes, but it's not foolproof. There are other factors too, though. Like, occupants are generally relatively safe during daylight hours. The vast majority of vampires just can't last long within the holy rays of the sun.
The classic sunlight weakness.
Right. And speaking of classics versus reality, the source makes a point of debunking another popular idea, especially from the Vampire Diaries.
Let me guess, daylight rings.
You got it. Unlike in the show where they seem to hand out daylight rings like candy, the source insists that in the real supernatural world, those kinds of protections are rare and short-lived. The most common method mentioned involves ingestion of gnome blood, which apparently isn't an easy task.
Gnome blood. Okay. Good to know. So no easy vampire beach parties.
Not usually, no.
So the key message for you listening out there seems clear. Always stay alert, because the supernatural security of the vampire invite spell is powerful, sure, but it doesn't cover every single situation.
Wow. That was quite the deep dive into the almost legalistic side of the supernatural. It's genuinely surprising how even a seemingly solid rule like the invitation spell has so many little exceptions and, well, loopholes.
It really is.
It just shows how complex these unseen forces can be. Understanding the fine print really matters. Absolutely. And it highlights that knowing these details isn't just academic curiosity. It's about practical understanding, even when facing the supernatural. Knowing the weaknesses of your protection is just as vital as knowing its strengths, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Which actually brings up a final thought. If a vampire's touch leaves this dark, unholy aura, this energetic fingerprint on objects, what does that imply about the unseen energies we might leave behind? You know, the energies we unknowingly carry or imprint on things we interact with every day. And how might those subtle imprints affect our own spaces, our own interactions? Something to think about.
Yeah.